Good morning. It's good to see all of you today.
Thank the Lord for another opportunity to come to the house of the Lord together. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we'll be beginning a study for a little while. I don't know exactly how long, but as long as the Lord directs and guides us here. And I would ask that you would pray for me. I want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and listen to Him. Not even so much rely on what I have written down, but on what the Lord has spoken to my heart. Many times as I prepare for teaching and preaching, sometimes I reach that point where I think if I write anything down on this, it's going to spoil what I feel like the Lord is leading me on, and I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I do have some notes written. But I want rather to listen to the Lord's voice and to what He would have to say to me along this line. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we just bless You and praise and thank Your holy name this morning for Your goodness and grace. Lord, we're not worthy of any of the favor that You give to us, Lord. We're not worthy to be able to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and to proclaim the Word of God and to exhort the saints of God. Father, we feel our infirmity of our flesh this morning. We feel, Father, Lord, the difficulty, Father, of just being able to explain and to express in words the good Word of God. Lord, I ask that You would speak today. I ask that You would touch our hearts and touch our ears and help us, Lord, to hear from You today. Strengthen, encourage, and guide us and edify us with Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. In James chapter 4, I'm going to focus our attention this morning on verse 17. And the series that I want us to look at for a little while is going to be on glimpses of Elijah, his life and ministry. And this morning, we are actually going to begin at the very last place in the Bible where you find Elijah mentioned by name. And that is here in James chapter 5 and verse 17. In fact, I believe that even though this is the final verse that mentions him, it's a good kicking off place, a good jumping off place, because it makes some statements about him that I believe we would do well to go into any study of any Bible character with these thoughts in mind and with the understanding in mind of what's going on. Of course, when you think of Elijah, you think of many marvelous and wonderful events that took place in his life. You think of a man who was in touch with God and who the power of God was on display in his life. And yet, when you come to this verse here in James chapter 5 and verse 17, you are struck, I am struck, with a reality that is very sobering. Look at what it says. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So the Bible tells us here, and I'm glad it does say this, because, you know, we tend to think of a figure like Elijah as a superman, as a superhero figure, because some extraordinary things took place in his ministry. If you think about just a moment, and in the days and weeks ahead, we'll, Lord willing, be covering some of these things. But if you think about Elijah, I'm sure probably the very first event that comes to your mind was the showdown on Mount Carmel. And how he was there facing off as one singular prophet of God against 850 false prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth that were there. And he made that challenge. And he said, "Let the God that answers by fire, let him be God." And you know the story, of course, that after a full day of those false prophets dancing around and doing their pagan religious rituals, trying to get their God to answer, there was complete silence. And then as Elijah stood and as he built that altar, repaired the altar of God, and he laid the wood in order, and you know, of course, in that story that the fire fell down and consumed not only the sacrifice, But the wood that the sacrifice was laid upon, and the stones that the sacrifice and the wood were upon, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And that's a marvelous event. Of course, the incident that James is speaking of here, of how he prayed that the heavens would be shut up and that there would be no rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. When you look at a man like that, you tend to put that man up on a pedestal and say, this man was an extraordinary person. And in many ways he was. You understand that because of the things that took place in his life. But James brings us back to this point where he says, you need to understand something about Elijah. He was a man of like passions, a man subject to like passions, just like we are. As far as the inward man Elijah, I'm sure that if you asked Elijah, Elijah, there is something extraordinary about you, he would probably say, no, no, there is nothing extraordinary about me. If you followed the life of Elijah in his younger years, I'm sure that you would have seen a man that had the same kind of struggles that you and I have. The Bible makes it very clear. He was subject to like passions just like you and I are. In fact, in James chapter 5 and verse 17, in fact, I believe that even though this is the final verse that mentions him, it's a good kicking off place, a good jumping off place, because it makes some statements about him that I believe we would do well to go into any study of any Bible character with these thoughts in mind and with the understanding in mind of what's going on. Of course, when you think of Elijah, you think of many marvelous and wonderful events that took place in his life. You think of a man who was in touch with God and who the power of God was on display in his life. And yet, when you come to this verse here in James chapter 5 and verse 17, you are struck, I am struck, with a reality that is very sobering. Look at what it says. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So the Bible tells us here, and I'm glad it does say this, because, you know, we tend to think of a figure like Elijah as a Superman, as a superhero figure, because some extraordinary things took place in his ministry. If you think about just a moment, and in the days and weeks ahead, we'll, Lord willing, be covering some of these things. But if you think about Elijah, I'm sure probably the very first event that comes to your mind was the showdown on Mount Carmel, and how he was there facing off as one singular prophet of God against 850 false prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth that were there. And he made that challenge, and he said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And you know the story, of course, that after a full day of those false prophets dancing around and doing their pagan religious rituals, trying to get their God to answer, there was complete silence. And then as Elijah stood and as he built that altar, repaired the altar of God, and he laid the wood in order, and you know, of course, in that story that the fire fell down and consumed not only the sacrifice, but the wood that the sacrifice was laid upon, and the stones that the sacrifice and the wood were upon. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. And that's a marvelous event. Of course, the incident that James is speaking of here, of how he prayed that the heavens would be shut up and that there would be no rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. When you look at a man like that, you tend to put that man up on a pedestal and say, this man was an extraordinary person. And in many ways he was. You understand that because of the things that took place in his life. But James brings us back to this point where he says, you need to understand something about Elijah. He was a man of like passions, a man subject to like passions, just like we are. As far as the inward man Elijah, I'm sure that if you asked Elijah, Elijah,
there is something extraordinary about you. He would probably say, no, no, there is nothing extraordinary about me. If you followed the life of Elijah in his younger years, I'm sure that you would have seen a man that had the same kind of struggles that you and I have. The Bible makes it very clear. He was subject to like passions just like you and I are. In fact, I like the way he says it here. And let's not make any mistake about it. Elias was a man. He was a man. How good can a man be? A man can only be as good as a man can be. The best of men, someone has said, are men at best. The things that can cause one man to fall can cause another man to fall. The things that can cause one man joy can cause another man joy. Not one of us, as Brother Tommy has so aptly said over and over again, not one of us is made of any finer clay than the next. Not one of us is any made of any higher grade of dirt than the next. Elijah was not a superhero. Elijah was not a godlike creature. He was not some mythological, fanciful creature that had powers of his own. He was a man. If you stuck him, he'd bleed. If you punched him in the nose, he'd say, ouch. And I'm sure that there were days that just like me, Elijah would get up and he'd say, I don't want to get out of bed today. I'm sure that there were days when his muscles and his joints felt pain and he felt aches in his back and just had a bad day. He was a man just like you and just like me. There was nothing superhuman about him, nothing godlike about him. In fact, it goes on and says, he was not just a man, but he was a man that was subject to like passions. In the Greek, that entire phrase, subject to like passions as we are, is one word. I won't try to give you the pronunciation of that word, but it's one singular word. In fact, you find the same word used over in Acts chapter 14. You might recall the incident where I believe it was Paul and Silas were in a particular town there, and the Lord worked some miraculous miracles through them. And the people came out and they said, these are the gods that are down among us here on the earth. And they brought out sacrifices and were going to offer sacrifices to these gods. And Paul said, brethren, don't do this. We are men of like passions as you are. In other words, we are subject to the same things that you are. And as Elijah was a man subject to like passions, the phrase literally means that he was similarly affected. You know, there is not one person among us that can ever reach a higher plateau where the basest things of this world cannot affect them. Not one. And it doesn't matter how close you get in your walk with God or how many miracles God does through you. It doesn't matter how many sermons you preach. It doesn't matter how many things happen to you. Every one of us can still, at any point in our life, be subjected to the like passions. Things affect us the same way throughout our lives. Now, by God's grace, He gives us the ability to learn to put things aside and to learn temperance and to learn obedience in the many facets of life that we come up against. But He was a man subject to like passions. He was similarly affected. And if you look at the events of Elijah's life, there were many things that affected him. In fact, in the weeks ahead, we'll see how that Elijah was a man that needed food. He was hungry. If you followed the life of Elijah in his younger years, I'm sure that you would have seen a man that had the same kind of struggles that you and I have. The Bible makes it very clear. He was subject to like passions, just like you and I are. In fact, I like the way he says it here. And let's not make any mistake about it. Elias was a man. He was a man. How good can a man be? A man can only be as good as a man can be. The best of men, someone has said, are men at best. The things that can cause one man to fall can cause another man to fall. The things that can cause one man joy can cause another man joy. Not one of us, as Brother Tommy has so aptly said over and over again, not one of us is made of any finer clay than the next. Not one of us is any made of any higher grade of dirt than the next. Elijah was not a superhero. Elijah was not a godlike creature. He was not some mythological, fanciful creature that had powers of his own. He was a man. If you stuck him, he'd bleed. If you punched him in the nose, he'd say, ouch. And I'm sure that there were days that, just like me, Elijah would get up and he'd say, I don't want to get out of bed today. I'm sure that there were days when his muscles and his joints felt pain and he felt aches in his back and just had a bad day. He was a man just like you and just like me. There was nothing superhuman about him, nothing godlike about him. In fact, it goes on and says, he was not just a man, but he was a man that was subject to like passions. In the Greek, that entire phrase, subject to like passions as we are, is one word. I won't try to give you the pronunciation of that word, but it's one singular word. In fact, you find the same word used over in Acts chapter 14. You might recall the incident where I believe it was Paul and Silas were in a particular town there, and the Lord worked some miraculous miracles through them. And the people came out and they said, these are the gods that are down among us here on the earth. And they brought out sacrifices and were going to offer sacrifices to these gods. And Paul said, brethren, don't do this. We are men of like passions as you are. In other words, we are subject to the same things that you are. And as Elijah was a man subject to like passions, the phrase literally means that he was similarly affected. You know, there is not one person among us that can ever reach a higher plateau where the basest things of this world cannot affect them. Not one. And it doesn't matter how close you get in your walk with God or how many miracles God does through you. It doesn't matter how many sermons you preach. It doesn't matter how many things happen to you. Every one of us can still, at any point in our life, be subjected to the like passions. Things affect us the same way throughout our lives. Now, by God's grace, He gives us the ability to learn to put things aside and to learn temperance and to learn obedience in the many facets of life that we come up against. But He was a man subject to like passions. He was similarly affected. And if you look at the events of Elijah's life, there were many things that affected him. In fact, in the weeks ahead, we'll see how that Elijah was a man that needed food. He was hungry. The Lord provided for him. He was a man, I'm sure that Elijah, and I'm going to take a little liberty in saying this here, and I don't think I'm going to do any harm or any disgrace to the Word of God, but I'm sure that it was difficult for Elijah even, knowing what the consequences of 3.5 years without rain would be, I'm sure it was difficult for him to fathom praying that. And yet, his eye was on the glory of God. His eye was on the work that God had cut out for him to do. You recall that incident. Not the very next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings 18, he had the victory at Mount Carmel. In the opening verses of chapter 19, Jezebel swore with an oath, I'm going to get you. I'm going to destroy you. And what did this man of like passions do? He did what this man would do. He took off. He said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And I'm leaving. And he got there on that mountain under that juniper tree. And God came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, Lord, I've been very jealous for you and for your name. And he said, Lord, I've had enough. I can't take any more. I've just had enough. He was a man that knew deep frustration. He was a man that knew what it was to stand in the pulpit and preach and not one soul be moved by it. Can you imagine the passion of his heart? And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Elijah, as he stood there before God, said, Lord, I've been jealous for your name and nobody seems to care. all these prophets, and yet I'm the only man of God left. He was a man of like passion, just like us. He was a man that bled in his soul for the glory of God. So he was similarly affected by the same things that affect us. He was not a superman. He was not without sin. He was not without sinful tendencies. He was not without temptation. He was not without feeling or emotion. He was not without... He said, these are the gods that are down among us here on the earth, and they brought out sacrifices, and we're going to offer sacrifices to these gods. And Paul said, brethren, don't do this. We are men of like passions as you are. In other words, we are subject to the same things that you are. And as Elijah was a man subject to like passions, the phrase literally means that he was similarly affected. You know, there is not one person among us that can ever reach a higher plateau where the basest things of this world cannot affect them. Not one. And it doesn't matter how close you get in your walk with God or how many miracles God does through you. It doesn't matter how many sermons you preach. It doesn't matter how many things happen to you. Every one of us can still, at any point in our life, be subjected to the like passions. Things affect us the same way throughout our lives. Now, by God's grace, He gives us the ability to learn to put things aside and to learn temperance and to learn obedience in the many facets of life that we come up against. But he was a man subject to like passions. He was similarly affected. And if you look at the events of Elijah's life, there were many things that affected him. In fact, in the weeks ahead, we'll see how that Elijah was a man that needed food. He was hungry. The Lord provided for him. He was a man, I'm sure that Elijah, and I'm going to take a little liberty in saying this here, and I don't think I'm going to do any harm or any disgrace to the Word of God, but I'm sure that it was difficult for Elijah even, knowing what the consequences of 3.5 years without rain would be, I'm sure it was difficult for him to fathom praying that. And yet, his eye was on the glory of God. His eye was on the work that God had cut out for him to do. You recall that incident. Not the very next chapter, 1 Kings chapter 19. In 1 Kings 18, he had the victory at Mount Carmel. In the opening verses of chapter 19, Jezebel swore with an oath, I'm going to get you. I'm going to destroy you. And what did this man of like passions do? He did what this man would do. He took off. He said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And I'm leaving. And he got there on that mountain under that juniper tree, and God came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, Lord, I've been very jealous for you and for your name. And he said, Lord, I've had enough. I can't take any more. I've just had enough. He was a man that knew deep frustration. He was a man that knew what it was to stand in the pulpit and preach and not one soul be moved by it. You imagine the passion of his heart. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but Elijah, as he stood there before God, said, Lord, I've been jealous for your name, and nobody seems to care. All these prophets, and yet I'm the only man of God left. He was a man of like passion, just like us. He was a man that bled in his soul for the glory of God. So he was similarly affected by the same things that affect us. He was not a superman. He was not without sin. He was not without sinful.